You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Monday. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, and we are getting closer and closer to football. As you're listening to this, the Browns have reported for the offseason program. It officially started here on Monday, April 15th. We are going to be in Berea on Tuesday. We're going to hear from Kevin Stefanski and some players. We're going to be in Berea on Thursday. We're going to hear from Andrew Berry. And then, of course, the draft is next week. But over the next really 2 months, the Browns are kind of ramping up a little bit here. So they'll have this kind of start to the program. They'll have OTAs towards the end of May, and then they'll have their mandatory minicamp mid-June. And then we get a little bit of time off before the Greenbrier. So it is getting closer and closer. Mary Kay posted today. You can find it at cleveland.com/Browns. Questions for the Browns as they enter this offseason program, the questions that they're facing. Mary Kay, you picked eight of them. We're not going to hit all eight today, but we're going to hit three on the offensive side. So why don't you start us off here? What's the first question you want to get into?
Well, the first one was probably an obvious one, and that is, how much is Deshaun Watson going to throw? I'm very curious to see what he's going to be doing when the OTAs begin in May. Now, we're not going to see anything for about another month or a little bit more than a month in terms of on the field work when OTAs begin May 21st. But I'm very curious to see what he's going to be doing then, because I think it will help inform what he does in training camp, what he's going to be doing in the preseason games, and how ready he will be when he steps on the field for the opener in September. So very, very curious about that. And I think it's good that they have Jameis Winston. It's good that they have Tyler Huntley, because as we all know, they have two quarterbacks coming off of injuries with Deshaun and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was battling a hip injury at the end of last season. So kind of curious to see who gets all the first team work, who gets up the backup work, and how it all shakes out.
So, Ashley, obviously we get a very limited amount of time that we get to see these guys. We only see three of the OTA practices. We do see the full mini camp practices. But, you know, there's only six practices here over the next 2 months that we're going to actually get to see. I guess, what do you want to see from Deshaun Watson? What are you hoping you can walk away after these 2 months and six practices thinking about Deshaun?
I mean, I guess in general, it's just that we do see him throwing. I mean, we've talked about that I think for me, the biggest thing would be training camp starts and he's not doing that or has to take a step back in some capacity. But it's hard for me just to get super worked up about anything I do or don't see at these practices, because it is so early in this process for him still. So I think if we see him throw, cool, that's great. We know, though, ultimately, it doesn't matter a ton when it comes to things like game speed and all that, because they're not going full speed. There is no contact. They're not in pads yet. All that sort of stuff that you would really use to evaluate somebody is just not there because it's part of the rules. So I think it's going to be hard to take anything Deshaun Watson does this spring and say definitively, okay, it means this and it means he's here in his recovery, because there is still that time between veteran minicamp and when training camp begins. I think if we see him throwing, that's great. If we don't, I don't know that alarm bells will be sounding off in my head necessarily, but it sounds like he's doing really well from what we know. And I think I'm also just curious to see him interacting with the rest of the quarterbacks in that room, particularly him and Jameis Winston. It's our first look at that. We've talked about that before. And I do think that's going to be one of the more interesting dynamics to watch during the spring on the sidelines and in drills.
Yeah, Mary Kay, I'll ask you the same question. I mean, what over the, you know, again, these six practices, what would you hope to see from Deshaun Watson, or what do you want to see from Deshaun Watson that would make you feel good heading into training camp?
Well, one of the things I think it's important to see is some chemistry developing with Jerry Jeudy. I think that's going to be very, very important for those two guys to kind of get their mojo down. It's one of the main reasons why the Browns believe that Jerry Jeudy is going to be worth the money that they're paying him, which is about $16.25 million over the next 4 years. They feel that when paired with Deshaun Watson, he's going to flourish and live up to his number 15 overall draft status coming out of Alabama in 2020. So that's one of the things that I really want to see, is how are those guys coming together? And if Deshaun doesn't have enough time to throw, how are they going to get that going? Now, sometimes it works out beautifully where a quarterback doesn't need all that time with a new receiver. But in some cases, you do need that. Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., they needed that to try to get that together. Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper didn't need that. But in the case of Deshaun Watson, because he runs all of the off-schedule plays, you need to try to do that in practice and see, okay, what am I going to do on a sight adjustment? What do I do when he's pressured? What do I do when he rolls out to the left, rolls out to the right? You need to develop some of these cues and some of these patterns of how you're going to do things together. So that's one of the things that I'm very, very interested to see.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Like, I don't necessarily need to see Deshaun just like light it up, because again, it's just practices. They aren't even like training camp practices. So it's just different. But I just want to see, I want to see how he looks throwing the ball. I want to see how he connects with these guys. I do want to see, I want to see him throw the ball, right? If we get through 2 months and we don't see him throw the ball very much, that would be a little bit concerning. But I don't know. I don't know that there's a whole lot that can change how I feel about Deshaun Watson heading into this season. The questions I have heading into this season, positively, it's because I don't know if we can answer those questions until he actually takes some hits and until he's actually out there playing real football games. And I think that's the problem here, Ashley, is we might see some highlight plays. We might post some stuff on Twitter of him throwing a deep ball to somebody, or, you know, whatever, him making some great throws, and that'll all be good, right? You want to see that arm strength and see that accuracy and see that stuff starting to return. But it's just so hard to know exactly how this shoulder is going to respond until we see him take real hits. And that's not going to happen. I mean, maybe it happens a little in the preseason, but it's not really going to happen until we get to September.
Yeah, that's really what I was getting at. I just think it's super hard to take anything definitively positively in terms of this. And I mean, a big part of it goes back to the nature of the injury. And I think even when he wasn't hurt, when he came back after the suspension and had missed 2 years, essentially at that point, when I think back to those games and watching them, I mean, I remember thinking that part of his problem seemed to be that he hadn't been hit in a while. And they talked about that even, that you can't really replicate that part of a game as a quarterback. And obviously those guys are so protected, even in practices when the pads come on, they're not letting them truly get after them in that same kind of way. Also why joint practices are pretty valued, even though those are pretty controlled. But it's just hard to, we joke about the zip and the overanalysis, of course, is one of our squares on our bingo board about the zip of his passes on Twitter. And I think that stuff is great. It's a phrase I use all the time at this part of the offseason. It's better than the alternative, but I don't definitively think it means anything in terms of what he's going to look like during that season opener, which we now know will not be against the Eagles in Brazil.
Yes, that's true. We do not have to go to Brazil that week, so that's a good thing. I mean, Mary Kay, what is, you know, aside from the idea of that connection with his receivers, is there anything that can happen here that could sort of answer questions for you about Deshaun, or do you kind of need to see it once, like, the real bullets start flying?
Well, I need to see it once the real bullets start flying. But I think an important thing to remember here is the fact that he has a completely overhauled coaching staff. He's got a brand new offensive coordinator that he's going to be working for. And I'm very curious to see what kind of concepts they're putting in, what looks different to us. They're not going to give it all away, of course, in training camp and in mini camp, but I think we're going to be able to see, are they in three wides a whole bunch more than they were in, you know, last season? And are they using the tight ends differently than they did before? What are they doing with the running backs? So I think that's going to be another key, is how are they using Deshaun? What did they do? They wiped out the whole offensive staff, rebuilt the staff, rebuilt the offense. And how is he picking it up? Is he moving quickly? Does he look like he's loving the new schemes? What is his interaction with Ken Dorsey? These are some of the very, very big things to be watching.
Okay, let's move on to your second question here, Mary Kay.
The second question that I have is, will Nick Chubb play in the first quarter of the Cleveland Browns season? It is such a big question mark. Everyone is wondering what's going to happen with Nick Chubb. Now, what we do know about Nick Chubb is that he began load running this month. That means cutting and agility. And they felt as though they had progressed enough where they were able to do a contract restructuring. So if they're at the point where they felt like they could say, here's what you're going to make if you do this, then they must be starting to have a pretty good idea of what he's going to be able to do and when he's going to be able to do it this season. Of course, it's a big X factor. It's a huge unknown. Nobody really knows exactly when and how he is going to make it back onto the field. But I think that's the big question heading in here. When is Nick Chubb going to be ready? And until he is ready, do they feel really, really good about the running back by committee that they have going on right now with Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong, Dante Foreman, and to a lesser degree, Nyheim Hines?
Yeah, Chubb is Chubb's going to be interesting to watch as we go along here. And Ashley, we talked about this a little bit on the HAMK pod. Like, when do we want to see the full go Nick Chubb? Like, at what point? I mean, this almost feels like the Deshaun discussion again. At what point are you a little worried about Nick Chubb? And I think, like, look, everybody would love to see him run out of that tunnel week one if the Browns are at home and carry the football and all that stuff. But to me, it's just about, let's get this guy to as close to 100% as he's going to be by, like, mid-October or even November. And so, again, this is just one of those things that's really going to be challenging to figure out as we go through this spring. You know, when is Nick Chubb going to get on the field? When are we going to see him carry the ball? When is he going to play in a game? When is he going to start to look like Nick Chubb again? It could all happen really quickly, or this could just be a really slow process. So it feels very unknown with Nick Chubb right now.
Yeah, and I think adding to it is something we've talked about before, that this is the second reconstruction he's had done on this knee. Of course, those surgeries are like 8 years apart. This one required two separate procedures that he had in September and November. But I do think that timeline you laid out, Dan, I think if it gets into November and we haven't seen him, I'd be starting to get concerned at that point, just because you're running out of time to get back in the swing of things in terms of those actual games, get up to game speed, get used to getting hit again. All those sort of things that you hear guys all the time. I remember talking to Obo Okoronkwo last year when he came back in the finale against the Bengals, and that was for his torn pec. And he didn't have to play in that game, obviously. Most of the starters rested. But he made the comment at the time, I wanted to get out there for this game, even though the win or the loss didn't matter, because I want to feel what it's like to get hit, to have the pads hitting each other again, because he had been out for a month. I mean, Nick Chubb hasn't played since last September. That's a long time. So I do think if it got into November, it's like, okay, we're starting to run out of time. But Nick Chubb is superhuman, so I agree with what Mary Kay said. I think when I saw that restructure got done from knowing what Andrew Berry told them at the annual meetings, it's like, okay, this must be progressing well enough that you were able to get this done and you're feeling positively about certain things with his recovery, at least.
Mary Kay, when do you think we'll see? I mean, this is the, I don't know when we're going to have an actual answer to this question, but when do you realistically think we'll see not just Nick Chubb on the field, but like Nick Chubb close to what Nick Chubb can look like?
Well, for starters, Nick is really not going to be participating in this offseason program. So when we're out there for those three OTA practices that we're able to watch, one each week in those 3 weeks in May, when we're out there for those, we're not going to see Nick Chubb out there carrying the ball and pretending to get tackled by defenders. That's not going to happen. Even in the June minicamp, I doubt that he's going to do anything in that. I think the next time that we will see Nick Chubb practicing with the team will be at some point, possibly in training camp. And that's why I just don't know if he's going to be ready for the first quarter of the season. Having said that, he is Nick Chubb and he could surprise all of us. So I'm not going to hold myself to any of this because he is a freak of nature and he can do things that most human beings absolutely cannot do. We know he's a superhero. His body responds like it. And so with Nick Chubb, anything can happen. But I don't really expect to see him practicing with the team until sometime in training camp. Now, will that be at the Greenbrier in those first 8 practices down there in late July and early August? I don't know if it will be then or if he will have to ramp up and try to get back on the field a little bit later in camp.
That's the thing about this, Ashley. I want to talk realistically about Nick Chubb, but like Mary Kay said, nothing would surprise me with Nick Chubb. Like it would not surprise me. It's unlikely, but it wouldn't surprise me if Nick Chubb came back and rushed for 1,300 yards this season and scored right? a bunch of touchdowns. It's just,
I know.
Anything is possible with him. So I just don't even know how to completely talk about what to expect from his season.
I don't either. And that was such a gruesome injury at the time that we all know ESPN wouldn't even show the replay. And obviously when he's healthy, he's doing things like squatting 600 pounds. I mean, Nick Chubb has kept his body in peak performance. And I can only imagine that that is going to help him throughout this whole rehab process now. That's why those guys put in all that work. So it is hard. It's like, you don't want to commit to anything and saying, oh, I'd be shocked if he's back week one, because would I really be? I mean, I don't know. For anyone else, yes. For Nick Chubb, not necessarily. I mean, I also wouldn't be shocked if it takes him a little bit longer, but he's superhuman. I think the Batman nickname is really apt here.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So the other part of this, Mary Kay, is the rest of that the rest of that running back room. But what do you think about how it's set up now? Obviously, Jerome Ford is there. Naheem Hines is there. Kareem Hunt is not back. They signed Dante Foreman. You mentioned some of those names. I would imagine that adding somebody in the draft is in play. How do you feel about the rest of that running back room, sort of how it's constructed behind Chubb?
You know, I actually feel pretty good about it, and here's why. I think that Deuce Staley is going to bring some new energy to the position and a new vibe to the position. And I think he's probably going to come up with some things to help Jerome Ford improve. I think that you'll probably see a little bit more of Pierre Strong. I thought he showed some flashes last year of being able to contribute, and I think there's more where that came from. I think, as you mentioned, Dante Foreman, he's basically replacing Kareem Hunt and wearing the same number that Kareem wore, so that will be easy for us to get a handle on that transition. And then Nyheim Hines, coming off of an ACL of his own, we don't really know how that's going to go in the early going, but he's more of a returner anyway. So I don't really know if he's somebody that we need to talk about too much in terms of the running back position. And then also a guy that I'm so sorry, I feel bad about this, that I always forget about because he's sort of a hybrid, is Giovanni Ricci. He's sort of a tight end fullback type of player. So, you know, they could get some things out of him from a blocking standpoint or an H-back role or whatnot. So he can be factored in there too. I think they will look at running backs in the draft. I think there's a good chance they could draft one in one of those later rounds. And if they don't do that, I'm sure they'll sign one as an undrafted rookie. And then they could always look at the street free agents after that, or even in the trade market after that, because it's not a hard position to fill. It's really not. When you're getting down to your third, fourth, fifth running back, you can find somebody to get the job done without spending a higher draft pick. You can go out there and you can get a good running back in many places.
We can never actually do it, but a good draft would be players that we just forget are on the roster. Especially this time of year. It's like there's so many signings and there's so many transactions that sometimes you just like, oh my gosh, they signed that guy. And so, mm-hmm. It happens. I actually am really interested in Nyheim Hines. I know what he can do in the return game, but as a pass catcher, I think he's a really interesting addition, especially because there isn't really another guy in that group, Ashley, that is, you know, Jerome Ford can do it, but it seems like if they're looking for a guy who can produce in the passing game on third down, that might be a nice role for Hines, or, you know, Mary Kay mentioned Pierre Strong, but I'm actually really intrigued by sort of how he fits in all of this.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I'm curious. It's a different position, obviously, so it will look slightly different, but are they going to try to slot him in for that role? I think they envisioned Jakeem Grant in a lot of, which I think he was going to be way more involved in the pass game. Obviously, he was a receiver, but the return ability, all that sort of thing. I think, again, they've been looking for a guy like that, and Kareem Hunt's value here was always how active he was in the pass game, so I definitely think that part of his game is really intriguing. And obviously he's coming back from his own knee injury that he suffered earlier than Nick Chubb and all of that. So there's some questions there, but it sounds like, and from what we've seen him do in Buffalo, especially, that he can maybe do some interesting things in this offense.
All right. One more here, Mary Kay. What's another question for us?
Another question is, when will all of these tackles be ready to go? And when they are all ready to go, what are you going to do with them? Who are the two starters going to be? All three of them suffered season-ending knee injuries. Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, DeJuan Jones. And they all had surgeries, and they are all now working their way back. DeJuan Jones has said he doesn't think he'll be ready for the very first set of OTAs in May, but is aiming maybe for the second week. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then we haven't really seen Jed or Jack that much. So I think these are some big questions that they're going to have to answer. When will these guys be 100% ready to go? And when they are, who's going to be the starting left tackle and who is going to be the starting right tackle?
I know the easy answer to this is you can never have enough tackles, and that's going to be the company line. And maybe that is ultimately the answer. But I mean, we've sort of been talking about this since January. Like, I still feel something's got to give here. I just, if all these guys are back and if they are all healthy, something, it just feels like something's got to give. And I don't know what it is, because Jack Conklin's contract is tricky, and they're obviously not giving up on Jed Wills yet, and you're certainly not giving up on DeJuan Jones. So I don't know, Ashley, maybe it's September and Jack Conklin is the third tackle and that just is what it is. And he, you know, just stays in line and says all the right stuff and, you know, goes elsewhere after next season. But I don't know. I still feel like there's something there and it might not happen until the end of training camp or the end of preseason or whatever. But this logjam, I don't know. Something's got to give here.
Yeah, you do start to wonder, is somebody going to be unhappy in this situation? I mean, I do think, really, this only happens if they're all on similar timelines and everyone's ready at the start of the season. So if somebody's not, that kind of solves this problem for you. But it's tough. I mean, I've been worried about this. I've been asking them about it since we got to the combine in February. It was one of the main topics I know we were all interested in and wanted to hit. And I know they believe that, as you said, you can never have enough tackles. I do think last year they learned that when they had to go through 5 starting tackles. They were down to their 4th and 5th ones in the wild card game. So it's tough, but it's just hard for me to wrap my head around how this is going to work. If just because I think DeJuan Jones did so well, that was something they weren't accounting for. They weren't accounting for him to be as good as he ended up being as quickly as he got there. They obviously thought they were getting a steal. But again, we talked about the Hall of Fame game last preseason. They did not expect him to thrive when they asked him to play every snap. That seemed more like a challenge, and he stepped up and impressed from that point on. So it threw a wrench into things, but again, it's better than the alternative. It's better than sitting here saying, God, I don't know who's going to start at right tackle next season. So they have that going for them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have, Mary Kay, and as long as you can handle all three, you know, make sure that whoever the odd man out is going to stay happy and not be upset that he's not playing, then fine. I don't know. It still feels like, I don't know how you balance it, because you don't want to just throw somebody away and then have somebody get hurt week one again. But if somebody's not happy with their role, you've got to deal with that somehow.
Well, the other thing to consider here is the fact that this is obviously a premium position. If you don't have 2 good starting tackles, you are going to struggle. So I could see a team come calling for one of these guys and perhaps making the Browns an offer that they can't refuse for one of these starting caliber tackles. If they're all healthy and you've got an extra almost Pro Bowl caliber or first round tackle sitting there looking for something to do, you might possibly be able to get something for him. And maybe it's Jack Conklin. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but he's somebody that if you really see the future is DeJuan Jones and Jed Wills Jr., maybe you can get something for Jack Conklin. Again, no idea if that's in their plans whatsoever, but I would think that it might be, because you have some younger tackles in the pipeline. You don't need an all-pro tackle sitting on the bench. Just don't need that. You know, you want somebody that can step in and do a nice job, but, you know, you don't have to have a world beater just sitting there with nothing to do. So we'll have to see how this all shakes out. But that could be one option, is to trade one of them.
Big week here. Browns starting off the offseason program. We've got new numbers. We've got video of at least one guy walking into the facility. So we know at least one player reported, and it was an important one, Deshaun Watson. But yeah, we're going to be back out there. Ashley, there's a big album coming out this week, right? If I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly,
there is,
I know
you. Wow.
I know you're ready to grab that new Pearl Jam album once it drops.
The new Pearl Jam album. It's what everyone is waiting for on Friday, April 19th at midnight.
All right, fine. It's a Taylor Swift album. There is a new Pearl Jam album coming out, but again,
is there really? Is it coming out on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Actually don't remember. I don't get as excited for Pearl Jam albums as I used to. Oh. They've been around a while. But yeah, big week. Big week
this
ahead
is where
for
we
everybody.
We need your theme song. We need someone to write the I'm Just Dan theme song. It would be perfect for right now when you're sad over the glory days of Pearl Jam.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's why YouTube exists. Which, by the way, how about this for a segue? You can find us on YouTube. Go to Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com or on Instagram. Search Orange and Brown Talk. And, of course, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And become a Football Insider subscriber. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Full week of pods coming your way. We'll recap the pressers. We are going to have our last big draft pod with Tim and Lance coming up on Friday. So, again, just make sure you're following along on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.